that dreaded call in the darkness of the night. A The Murderbot Diaries fanfic. Written by Completely Different. Read by Black Glass. When Farai awoke to Tano shaking her awake in the middle of the night, her immediate suspicion was that one of the wee ones had wet themselves again. One look at her partner's face, ashen gray in the pre-dawn light, was enough to tell her it was far, far worse. Ada's father had been up. Stars knew why. He should have been fast asleep at his age. But he always said he had a sixth sense about these things. And maybe he was right, because he'd been awake when the emergency message came in. "There's a car coming to get you in 15 minutes, he said. "Government officials. They want to talk to you." He pressed thermoses of hot tea into their hands. He had always been the type of person that felt that tea could act as a shield against all the world's ills. So Farai and Tano got dressed as fast as they could, and were halfway presentable when the car pulled up. No human driver in it, just an automated bot pilot, and Farai wasn't sure if that made it better or worse. Cars weren't the norm for travel planet-side. Trains were the primary public transport provided for long distances. Buses for medium. Carts for those out-of-the-way places that even buses couldn't reach. For day-to-day travel, those systems were fast and efficient, but the buses and trains had to make regular stops, and time, the message had said, would be of the essence. It would have been an hour and 40-minute trip to the nearest Preservation Alliance governmental offices. They made it in just shy of an hour. They were greeted in the lobby by the Vice Committee Head for Intersystems Affair, Mix Valendi. They'd met a handful of times in the past, at parties and other official functions. Farai had always been struck by how their face seemed permanently trapped in a half-frown, half-sneer. If given even half an opportunity, they liked to lecture on all the ways they would be running things better, were they planetary admin. Ada had always said, "They're simply someone very dedicated to the job." Tano, who wasn't a politician and didn't have to be fair or even-handed, had said once, "No, I think they're just a fucking know-it-all." Farai had burst out laughing, and even Ada had smiled. "Thank you so much for coming out here on such short notice." Blendy was smiling now, but it was not their usual smile. It possessed not an ounce of self-satisfied satisfaction. It was a quiet, compassionate smile, and that, more than anything else, made Farai understand that something was very, very wrong. She reached out for Tano's hand. Tano took it. Her palm was sweaty. Whatever was going on, it was clearly very private, or else it could have been shared over the feed without all the ceremony. So they managed to hold quiet until they were in a private meeting room. "What's happened?" "It's your wife," Valendi said, as if that wasn't obvious. There was some sort of member of security there too, or military, or defense. Farai wasn't sure. She was finding it hard to focus on details like that. But whoever they were, they cut straight to the point. "Dr. Ada Mensah has been kidnapped." "She's been what?" Farai demanded. Tano swore. Loud. They had questions. The government officials had answers. "Who was Ada kidnapped by?" "Gray Chris."
"The same company who tried to kill her entire survey?"
"Exactly the same."
"Where? How?"
"At the public funeral for the victims. Security footage provided by Port Free Commerce Security suggests her drink was spiked. They grabbed her when she stepped out onto the balcony, alone."
"Where is she now?"
"Unknown."
"Is she alive?"
And that's where Valendi had hesitated.
We have evidence to believe."
Tano thumped the table with her fist.
"You have evidence to believe?" V parroted. "Is she alive or not?" asked Farai.
"We have a video," the security agent said. "It has a proof of life message in it, directed at the two of you. That's why we called you in. We need you to...
to confirm, for I said, mouth dry. I'm sorry, Valendi said. We know it's not an easy request to make. It wasn't. It wasn't. But what else could they do? They took 5 minutes to prepare, to steel themselves. Farai drank some of the tea from her thermos. It didn't help, but at least the heat was distracting. And then, hearts in their throats, they began watching the video. There was Ada. Their dear Ada. She looked awful. She was wearing some ruffled, cheaply printed shirt. She had lost weight. She was sitting straight, shoulders square, the way she would at a council meeting. But there was a certain sluggishness to her blinks. There was a troubling grayish quality to her skin, which may simply have been the lighting, but may have been something more sinister. More alarming than that was the dark purple bruise that bloomed all across her left cheek. She had left for a 2-month academic survey. And now...
Now, Dr. Mensa, I hope we'll have your cooperation for this next step,
said someone off-screen, voice heavily distorted. Coward.
We'll be sending this message home to your loved ones. Surely you want to speak with them, yes? And I'm sure they want to hear from you, too. Make sure that you're all right.
You want me to prove I'm me? That I'm not some deepfake?
Ada said. She shifted a little in the squat gray chair she was handcuffed to. The distorted voice spoke again.
It's in our mutual interest, yes.
That's her, Tana whispered under her breath. That's our Ada. Shh, Farai said, fierce. Shh. She couldn't bear to hear that, not until she was sure. But there was no point shushing. The Ada on screen didn't talk for a long time. Nearly a full minute. She drummed her fingers on the metal table, considering. Then she spoke.
My family. My darlings. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you were seeing this.
She wasn't crying, but Farai could tell she was holding back.
Tano? Farai? This question is for you. On our first date together, all three of us, what did we eat?
The video paused. The security agent standing to the side of the room asked, Do you remember? Farai jumped a little in her chair. She had almost forgotten they were there. It was... We had a picnic, right? In the park? Ada made us something. Sushi, said Farai, recalling. The late spring day. The flowers in bloom. The fact it took them over 20 minutes to find a spot to put the blanket that wasn't muddy. She made us nigiri and maki in little boxes. Right. Right, yes. She made sushi and they all fell apart. Farai laughed, although it was halfway to a sob. Ada was honestly an abysmal cook, and a little embarrassed about it. But she had tried. For them, she had tried. Valendi prompted. Is that your answer? Are you sure? Yes. Yes, we're sure, Farai answered, before Tano could say something sharp. Something V usually wouldn't say. Usually they were so sweet, so easygoing. But their Ada was kidnapped, held hostage, and... Valendi tilted their head to the security agent. The video started playing again.
I made us all sushi. I got us the freshest ingredients. I watched how-to videos for hours.
Ada ran a hand through her disheveled curls.
It didn't do much good.
She stared down at the table.
I miss you all. Pass my love on to the kids.
And then the video ended. There were more questions after that. Questions, next steps. Ada was alive, but that meant there were so many repercussions, so many things that had to be done. for I listened to all of it, as if the conversations were happening from a long way down a distant corridor. At some point, something wet dropped onto her hands, and she realized it was her own tears. "We'll need to keep checking in, to ensure she's all right. To ensure that they haven't done anything to her," Valendi said. "You mean to prove they haven't killed her?" Valendi's lips were a thin line. "Yes, precisely. We need to give them proof-of-life questions at regular intervals. One they can't spoof or fake, that only Ada can answer." "How could one come up with a question like that? Something that Ada could remember off the top of her head, but wouldn't be common knowledge, that wouldn't have been recorded on a social profile somewhere in the feed. It seemed a monumental task, too difficult to contemplate. But Ada had managed to come up with something, even imprisoned, even while drugged. If she could do it, so could Farai. They had to, because they had to get her back. Somehow." End of story. Thanks for listening.